Blog Talk Radio.
I'm supposed to be in love by now. It's been so long for me, I don't know how. By now, been drowning in the sea of broken vows. By now, but I'm supposed to be in love by now. I've been chasing my dream, now I'm chasing you. Running hard, but my legs feel weak. I done played every part, I done played a fool. Write the movie, I'll be your lead. I'm supposed to be in love by now. Well, girl, you stole my heart, take a bow. By now, in love by now. Well, I'm supposed to walk you down the aisle by now, change your name and make fair a smile. By now, to lead a judgment glance. Chasing my dream, now I'm chasing you. Running hard, but my legs feel weak. I done played every part, I done played a fool. Write the movie, I'll be your lead. Well, I'm supposed to be in love today. By now, go through my phone and throw them all away. By now, in love, by now.
Without
Blog Talk. Thank you for joining me, Pastor Gloria Walker, on this rainy Tuesday in Atlanta for the broadcast. Are you destined to be single? You know, the other day the Holy Spirit was dealing with me because whether you know it or not, I am a single pastor. And I was thinking about the holidays coming up and you know, it's okay for the most part throughout the year to be single, because if I want to go somewhere, I can take myself anywhere I want to go. I go to the movies a lot alone. I will go out to dinner alone. But, you know, when you have the holidays coming up and people start inviting you to those Christmas parties and Christmas dinners, sometimes you want to have a date, right? Well, I started thinking about that, and the Holy Spirit just told me to minister a little bit to people. So that's why we're doing the broadcast, and before I get into it, I want to offer up a prayer for us as usual. Father God, we come before you today to thank you, Lord, for who you are. We worship you. We adore you. We place no one before you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your protection, your provision, your love, your favor, your kindness towards us, God. And we thank you for being a God that is faithful and true to watch over and perform your word. We thank you, God, for helping us daily to walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, Blog Talk, I asked a couple of questions in the description of the show. are certain people destined to be single? You know, some people wonder that have maybe never even been married. Some have gotten married and gotten divorced, and they wonder if they will ever have another life partner. So I don't know. I may have to do a two-part broadcast. I don't know if I'll be able to cover everything in this broadcast. It's only 30 minutes. But on that note, let me also make mention of, because the Holy Spirit has laid the subject on my heart, I'm writing my first singles book, and it's sort of a spin on Steve Harvey's book title, which he calls his book, Acts Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. And I disagree with that. My book title is called Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Lady. Amen. And so I'm working on it now, and I expect to have it completed before Christmas of this year. So if you want more ministry on the subject of being a Christian single, I'm working on it, and I'm going to put as much knowledge, wisdom, and information as the Holy Spirit imparts into me, into it. And if you've ever read any of my books, you know I always talk about my own personal life experience. So this will be pretty fun reading. Amen? All right. So getting into the broadcast, let me start out with this question. Is it the will of God, you know, for a person to marry or to remain single? And I have certainly had that question asked of me before as a pastor. I've had individuals, you know, ask me in tears, how can I know if God wants me to be married or remain single, you know? To you, are you struggling with that question? Are you wondering if marriage is God's will for your life? Okay. Well, this is just going to be a brief little practical teaching on it. But here's the thing. Who should you ask such a critical question to? Because, you know, the Bible says that we should seek godly counsel, because if you ask the wrong person that question, you're going to get a whole host of answers, okay? So depending on who you ask, you could get a variety of answers. Some of the answers will literally take your breath away. You know, you'll walk away from these people thinking, oh, Lord, if I get married, I might be, you know, going against the will of God for my life. Because of something that they've said, you know, and others will leave you dangling in a state of immense confusion. Amen. And I must admit, for some time, I wondered, you know, if I would remain single. If you don't know my testimony, the first book I wrote called Appointed Times, God is Always in Control, is my personal testimony. It's on Amazon.com, and it talks about me becoming widowed at the age of 21. And I was not a devout Christian at that time. I mean, my family went to church occasionally. But I went on a quest to apprehend God. I wanted to know. I felt like he took my husband, as many people do. Why did you kill my loved one? I felt that way. And so I went on a quest to find God, and I did find him. But when I found him, I stopped asking that question because I realized that that was not the truth, okay, that he killed my husband. But if you want to read about that, get the book on Amazon, Appointed Times, God is in Control. It has a brown book cover. But I used to wonder, well, after my husband died, I did remarry about 5 or 6 years later, but in my anxiousness to be a family again, because I had two sons, in anxiousness to be a family, I married in haste, and I married the wrong person. And so I got divorced in 1998, and I've been single ever since then, in no hurry to get married, and had almost come to the conclusion that I maybe was destined to be single. But as of late, the Holy Spirit has been ministering to me on that subject and leading me to the Word of God and letting me know and confirming in my spirit that that's not God's will. I can do what I want to do, but that is certainly not His will. And it's not His will for you either. And that's what we're going to talk about today. All right. So, when you talk to different people, you know, and they're finished giving you their personal opinion or their religious or denominational viewpoints, you know, you won't know what the Lord's will is for your life. Various ministers tell people to ask God if it is His will for them to be married. You know, now on the surface, that sounds like a super spiritual prayer to pray. But is it? Is it really? Think about it. Can you find anyone in the Bible praying that prayer? Lord, is it your will for me to be married, God? Ruth didn't pray that prayer. She wasn't looking for Boaz. She was just going about her daily business. Okay? But she certainly didn't pray that prayer. All right? Read the scripture in Psalms 119:89, and don't ever forget it. 119:89, Our Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. That means there are certain issues that you don't pray about under any circumstance, nor do you seek a prophetic word, a sign, or a vision from God. What you do concerning these issues is to go to the written word of God. Once you find out what the Lord has said on certain subjects, your responsibility is to get in line with His written word, okay? Now, I'm going to give you a list of a few things that's already settled in His word, okay? When I say don't pray about it, I mean like, don't say, God, is it your will for me to be married? He's already answered that in the word, okay? And some other things that He's already answered is it God's will for you to be saved? That answer is in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Of course it is. Is it the will of God for you to pray? Yes, it is. That's in Luke 18, chapter 1. Is it the will of God for you to forgive? Yes. 26. Is it the will of God for you to attend church? Yes. Hebrews 10:25. Okay. So to pray about any of these above issues would mean that you have rejected what God has already said concerning the matter. Okay. People who pray over issues that God has already settled in His word set themselves up to be deceived and misled by other people or other teachings, okay? The question about whether you should or should not get married has also already been settled in God's word, okay? Genesis chapter 2, around about verse 13 or 18, somewhere in there, God has said, it is not good that man should be alone, okay? And He brought Eve on the scene. So that speaks for itself, all right? So before we learn what God said about this issue, let's look at some common ways ministers and others mislead God's flock with their man-made opinions, okay? Some people talk about, do you have the gift of marriage or the gift of singleness? Now, this is a popular teaching that has been circulating in many Christian circles for years. However, it does not originate in the Word of God. There is no such thing in the Bible as the gift of singleness or the gift of marriage. If you have been wondering which gift you have, I command you in the name of Jesus right now. You have neither, because in the economy of God, they do not exist. Now, I realize the people espousing such doctrines are sincere. Nevertheless, this teaching does not emanate from the scriptures, okay? It stems from their opinions, maybe some pride is involved, there are some fears, some subverted beliefs of men. That is why you are bound under God to reject such teachings. Okay? Now, here's another issue that Paul talked about, and I bet a few of you are not even going to believe that I'm about to say this. Do you have the gift of celibacy? This is another one of those debilitating man-made doctrines floating around in the church. The doctrine stems from what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, "For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that manner." Now, various preachers have read that verse and concluded that Paul was referring to some sort of gift of celibacy. But they missed three crucial points. And Blog Talk, you are not to take what I'm about to say as a license to go freely sin, because Paul talked about that too. He said, because we have been saved by grace, what, do we continue to sin? Of course not. So when we know better, we do better. And as believers, we know what's right and what's wrong. But let me, the definition of celibacy, just in case somebody's listening that does not know. I find it hard to believe, but just in case. Celibacy means to abstain from sexual intercourse, okay, especially by reason of religious vows. But here's the thing. God did not initiate a vow on it, a commandment. In verse 6 of Corinthians chapter 7, Paul clearly stated, read it for yourself, that his position to remain single and his suggestion to others to follow his footsteps was not a commandment of God. Paul emphasized that he was speaking from his personal conviction, okay, from his own personal conviction, all right? So Paul's remaining single and not, you know, getting married and being celibate was not a gift from God, okay? Not a gift, all right? That was just something that he had control over, okay? He stated emphatically that he beat his sex drive and natural passions into subjection. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. If he had not beaten his body into subjection, I don't mean literally with his fist beat his body. I mean made his flesh yield, okay? If he had not made his flesh yield, he would have fallen into sexual sin and become a castaway like other people had become. Because you have to remember, the disciples were traveling in and out of all kinds of pagan places, and there was prostitution and worship of idol gods, and within that there were certain types of traditions and dances and rituals and things that were going on. So if Paul was a man that was led by his flesh, he would have been all over the place sexually. Okay. But he was not. You know, he had gotten his flesh under control, and he was about doing his father's business, okay? So certain preachers have erroneously taught that Paul had a special gift of celibacy. Paul had no such gift of celibacy, okay? And to be blunt about it, Paul had to force himself to, at times, keep his eyes off of the beauty of the female gender, okay? And he had to not even think about marriage or entertain the thought of children and family, okay? He had to deaden his natural desires for companionships when he got lonely, as I'm sure he did. I mean, he was a mortal man like all of us. I'm sure he got lonely, okay? So these things that I talked about, if you desire marriage and family and children and you have a problem with your sex drive and, you know, things of that nature, well, you're not a person just based on that alone to be destined to be single, okay? There are some people who, you know, maybe have been married and are now single, have had their children are now adults, and so they have no desire to remarry. We're not talking about, we're talking about people that have a desire, okay? It is God's will that you marry. But here's the thing. That's why it's so important to have a relationship with God. You have to stay connected. You have to be in His will, because you can end up making decisions that are completely out of the will of God, and therefore is a result of why you are still single. Okay? Let me just give this example. Let's just say when the Lord called me into ministry, this is hypothetical, when the Lord called me into ministry, I decided not to go into ministry. I decided to go join the circus in India. So what if the Lord wanted me to be a pastor, and at some point in my life as a pastor, He was going to have me meet another pastor, and we were going to have a ministry together and share our lives together? But no, when I went off over to India to join the circus, my opportunity to be in God's will and to have the mate that He has purposed for me was affected. So we need to make sure that we stay connected to God through Jesus Christ, and that means we need to pray. The Bible says that we should pray all the time. Pray without ceasing. Men ought always to pray, okay? So we need to pray, and we need to read the Word, and sometimes we need to shut off the TV and Empire and all that stuff and just be quiet in the Lord. You know, get you a good Christian book to read. Get one of my books to read. They're on Amazon.com. If you're connected with me on Facebook, Pastor Gloria Walker on Facebook, or look up Minister Gloria Walker's Book Nook on Facebook, and you'll find all of my books there. But there are some things that you can do to keep yourself occupied while you're waiting on your spouse, okay? Now, here's one of those erroneous other things that I've heard a minister say. I've heard ministers tell people, well, the Lord will be your husband or your wife. You know, I've heard many Christians be told this by well-meaning ministers, to allow God to be their husband or their wife. Now, Blog Talk, frankly, I don't know why they would say this. I mean, it sounds real holy, and I guess they are referencing scripture in Isaiah 54, verses 5 through 8, where it says, "For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." Forget this. Jesus said in John 4:24, God is a spirit. That being said, we can't kiss a spirit, can't make love to a spirit, cannot hold a spirit's hand, cannot run our hands through a spirit's hair, can't eat breakfast with a spirit. All right? Spirit can't hold you at night when it's cold, okay? So with that being said, the Bible said when God was creating, he created, you know, things one after each kind. We are mankind, humankind. So he expects us to have a spouse that is just like us. Not like him. He's a spirit. Amen? All right? So God can no more be your husband and your wife anymore than, you know, he can be your postman or your auto mechanic. Okay? When you hear people make such ridiculous statements, just consider them spiritually unlearned and go on about your business. Just go on about your business. Now, I have about 5 minutes before I have to wrap up. And I am aware that there are a lot of reasons why people may be single. Some people may have a fear of marriage. Some people may feel like because it has to happen by now, they've lost hope. Some people may feel like they're not attractive to the opposite sex. And I just want to say that God created you, and you are attractive. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't let the devil get inside your head and tell you things like that. But some people aren't married because they have a fear of trusting, okay? They are concerned about living with someone, you know, day in and day out. Sometimes people get set in their ways and they just don't want to give up that kind of thing. But we know that in marriage there's a lot of give and take. And so if that's you, you need to pray and ask the Lord to help you in that way. God can do anything but fail. So if you've got some hang-ups, you know, being single a long time has caused you to have some hang-ups about being married, just pray and ask the Lord to help you get rid of them. It's really just that simple, okay? Because those people who want to say, well, do you have the gift of marriage or the gift of being single? There's no such thing, okay? In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 12, where the Bible talks about Christ giving the church or people certain gifts, that was not one of them, being single or being married. That is not one of the gifts that Christ gave, okay? Now, in terms of why you're waiting on your partner, what do you do? Well, that's up to you and who you are. You have to be creative. You don't have to sit around the house and just watch TV all the time. You can go out with a friend. You can go to the movies. You can go to dinner. Take a class at a college. Get started on a project, something that you've always wanted to do. I write because the Lord told me to write, but it certainly keeps me busy. I know a lot of people that take art classes. Some people take dance lessons, you know. So you just have to keep busy. But like I started off the broadcast talking about, you know, the holidays are coming. And if you're single and you have a party to go to and you don't have a mate, guess what? Get dressed and go to the party. I've done it by myself with no mate, and I had a very good time. And I didn't have to explain anything to anybody. Nobody wanted an explanation. I went to a Christmas party one year. Everybody there was coupled off except me. And I had a good time walking around, talking, mingled, playing Christmas games, and enjoying myself. I've even taken myself to concerts before alone, bought one ticket, and went and enjoyed myself. So you can't let life stop because you're single and you don't want a partner. But at the same time, I want you to remain hopeful, stay encouraged, because it is the will of God that you have a mate. Remember Genesis chapter 2. It is not good that man should be alone. All right? My time is up. I thank you for joining me. And I may do a part 2 on this broadcast to go in more depth about it. If I don't, look for the book. I may just hold the information and put it in the book. Be blessed, Brock Talk, until we meet again.